This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Please be seated. When my sister Lori and I were little girls, my parents bought us a whole set of paperback books. They were small books. Each one had a Bible story in it, and they had wonderful, wonderful, colorful pictures in there, so that once our mom or dad had read the book to us, this was before we could read, we could pretty much figure out the story for ourselves after that and follow along with the pictures. I got to read, of course, because I was 18 months older. However, on occasion, Laurie might point out that I had missed some key point in the story, which was tacky of her, really, on so many levels. I still remember the two of us with our little tummies on the floor, our elbows up, looking at the book, and right in front of the heat register in the kitchen where Mom was working. The story I remember for today, of course, is The Rich Fool. And when my dad read it to us, this little guy in the book would say, "First things first, myself I shall please," which is the way we do it even to this day. You got to bob the head because that's what daddy did. So that's how you read the story. And that "first things first, myself I shall please" kind of sums up in a nutshell the problem with this guy. You know, at first, he looks pretty honorable. I mean, he works, he plans, he saves, he wants to protect what he's worked hard for, probably his whole life, and he wants a secure future. And if the truth be told, so do I. I mean, consider the opposite. What if he sat idle and thought nothing about the future, just consumed his resources as fast as he could? Neither of those are his downfall. Listen in on his thoughts. "I will do this. I will pull down my barns. I will store my grain and my goods. I will say to my soul." He says "I" and "my" so often, he has lost the ability to think in terms of "we" and "our." He does not see himself as a temporary steward of the possessions that God has given him to care for. Instead, he sees his possessions as a symbol of permanence and self-sufficiency. He may say that he's always believed in God, but when it comes to managing his life and planning for his future, God is nowhere in the mix, and nor is anyone else for that matter. The notion that others might also benefit from his riches, his abundance, never enters his mind. That's just totally outside his understanding. And that is the real trouble with this man. Now, to be clear, God wants all of us to live rich and prosperous lives. A life of poverty and abstention is not going to nourish us to do the work that God has given us to do in the world. The proverbial saying is not that money is the root of all evil. The proverbial saying is that the love of money is the root of all evil. Among all the other hoops that I had to jump through on my way to becoming a priest, I'm noticing there's a theme here. I've mentioned that several times. One of them was a whole day of psychological testing, and they still let me in. So you can blame the Diocese of Florida for that. Anyway, late in the day, I had been asked the same questions over and over with just a slight little twist to them all day long. And, you know, you're just exhausted. You're kind of reading the same thing, a little bit different, and you're just tired by the end of the day. And they had a fill-in-the-blank section. And the blank, and what it said was money, blank. And I wrote, means choices, because I truly believe that money means choices. Money in and of itself is not bad. Money is something that's practical and can be used for good. The choices of what we give, how much we give, and the attitude with which we give it are windows into the spiritual health and maturity of ourselves and of our community. How will we invest in the work in God's kingdom in such a way to reap a plentiful harvest, not of financial profits, but of lives changed through the grace of Christ in and through us? This year, I want to encourage us to celebrate the abundant harvest God has given us by starting with questions of the Christian heart. For example, do we give as much attention to the maintenance of our spiritual lives as we do the maintenance of our cars? What kind of fuel do we want to put in our spiritual tanks this year so we'll run better for the long haul? The theologian Karl Barth famously suggested that we pray with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. He said nothing about clutching the church budget. Our money means choices, and as good stewards, it means making choices for ourselves and for all of the people that God loves in this world. You see, with no connection to God or others, our lives become meaningless, and we end up running around like a little caricature of a foolish man, mumbling to himself over and over again, "First things first, myself I shall choose." Today's gospel story is about perspective. It's about making sure that our priorities are in order as a community of faith and as individuals. So know that God wants nothing more for you and for me than to live a happy and prosperous life. He wants us to have a bright and safe future. He wants us to enjoy our lives. But if we lose sight of our true riches and our true calling, our money and our goods will quickly lose their meaning, and basically become worthless overnight. Someone once said to be rich toward God is to treasure God above all else and to treasure those that God loves. To be rich toward God means to live in faith and to share with others rather than to hoard what God has so richly and freely given to us.